When you give a compliment, you better be sincere. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and you know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you invite Him into your heart, if you just let Jesus take over all of your heart, every little corner of your heart. And if you do that, and you live like Jesus now, as your personal Lord and Savior, then you'll have a good Friday and a good Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's your call. Jesus will never force Himself into our hearts. He's very respectful of free will. But He's always there, ready. You open the door to your heart and you say, come on in, Jesus. You're going to have a very unique, special relationship with Jesus. Today's Gospel passage comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," Jesus said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Well, this passage is just full of concepts that we need to talk about today. And it's somewhat of a controversial passage among scripture scholars. And maybe you start to have some questions, the same questions that some scholars have. Okay, let's walk through it. The man falls on his knees before Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, the man is young. Mark's gospel just says a man ran up to Jesus. He falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, do you see why I started the program by saying, if you're going to give somebody a compliment, you better be sincere? Is he sincere? I don't know. But Jesus, in his humanity, doesn't know either. So he asked the man the question, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, is Jesus saying there that he's not God? No, don't miss the point of what Jesus is doing here, okay? He is making sure that the man understands why he's calling him good. He's testing to see if this man is sincere. Most probably they never met before. The man may have heard him preaching. You got to remember that so many of the people, at least the leaders of the Jews, when they listened to Jesus teach, they tried to trap Jesus. They would ask him questions. They tried to get him in a situation where Jesus would say something that would make the Romans very upset with him. So here's this man who runs up to Jesus, falls down, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You can appreciate why Jesus would say, well, why do you call me good? How do you know that I'm good? In fact, only God is good. So are you saying that I'm God? But no one is good except God alone. Paul refers to that in Romans 3:23 when he says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus is doing two things here. He's making sure that it's a sincere compliment, rooted in what? Rooted in Jesus' divinity. And then he goes on to say to the man, well, if you want to know what you have to do to inherit eternal life, keep the commandments. And he listened, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother. Boom, right back to Jesus, the man says, teacher, notice now he's not saying good teacher, teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. So he's a righteous man, at least according to the Jewish standards of the time. He has kept the commandments. Now, Jesus' relationship with him begins to change. Because verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. The one translation that I like, it says Jesus stared at him with love. Okay. Really emphasizing a certain type of look. I mean, a real loving look. So Jesus is looking at this man with love. And now comes the invitation. Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. In other words, you want eternal life. You really want it. Don't settle for anything. Don't settle for cheap substitutes. Don't let anything come between you and your chance of going to heaven. Then come follow me, Jesus says. A great invitation to discipleship. And what happens? Scripture says it so clearly. The man's face fell. Why? What was he looking for? He certainly didn't expect to hear the words Jesus said, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, come follow me. He was probably expecting another commandment besides the Ten Commandments. The Jewish people had lots of laws, lots and lots and lots and lots and laws. He was probably looking for one more law. He was looking for a teaching from Jesus that would not disturb his life too much. Would not turn his life upside down. Would not call for radical change. But that's exactly what Jesus does. He calls this man to a radical change. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He didn't recognize that look of love that Jesus gave him. Or the way Jesus stared at him with love. His wealth blinded him. His wealth was too important to him. His wealth was his comfort. His wealth was his treasure, right? That was a more important treasure than the treasure of heaven, even though he wanted to know how he got to heaven. He wanted the easy way to get to heaven. He wanted the cheap way to get to heaven. He wanted to find out a way to get to heaven that would involve, that would not involve any change in his life. He did not want his comfortableness to be disturbed. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Well, we all have to face the kind of same invitation, not just people who take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. People, lay people. What owns you? Has your wealth or has your material comforts made it difficult for you to follow Jesus? Are you even aware that right now, yes, this very second, Jesus is staring at you with love? And he's extending an invitation for you to live a more simple lifestyle. A more generous lifestyle. He doesn't want you to settle for cheap substitutes. Nothing but Jesus will make you happy. We're pilgrims here on earth. letter to Hebrews says that very clearly. We're passing through. Don't get bogged down. Don't get weighed down. Don't have too much baggage. We have to travel lightly. Through your prayer, through your reading of Scripture, come into contact with good people belonging to a faith community. Jesus will use each one of those to steer at you with love. Then it's not so scary to downsize your belongings. It's not so scary to share some of your financial resources or your time or your talents. Don't, listen, dear listeners, don't miss the look of love because Jesus is staring at you with love right now. How are you going to respond? Our prayer partners today are people with diabetes. You know, diabetes is epidemic right now in our country, and a lot of people are suffering from diabetes. Fortunately, we have the medication, but you got to be careful here because, you know, diabetes can have horrible results. Blindness, losing limbs, losing legs. Ugh, it has ugly, ugly ramifications when diabetes gets out of control. Pray for people, okay, who have diabetes. Today's food for thought comes from a wonderful English writer named C.S. Lewis. He wrote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun, S-U-N, sun. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Right? Because the sun enlightens our world. And just as the S-U-N enlightens our world, so does Christianity, based on S-O-N, the Son of God, helps us to see everything else. People as our brothers and sisters. Small tend to make you smile or laugh. A Capuchin priest that I know tells this story. He said a mother and child were walking by church one day while he was working out in the garden. And the little child said, "Look, Mommy, it's the God from church." And the mother said, "That's not God, honey. That's one of God's friends." Now, this Capuchin priest was in dirty garden clothes. And the child said, "God's not too picky, is he?" I love these true stories. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 22130, 6th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you that you enjoy the program. Send me your prayer intentions. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. If you can send me some financial help to keep my hospital for the poor and sick open in Oaxaca, Mexico, you make a check out to TASH, T-A-S-H, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 22136th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And I encourage you, if you use the internet, visit my website. You'll enjoy it. Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. And these radio programs, you can listen to them on my website. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore you.